Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Today, we're completing our four-week series called Relationships Righted. And you can access our messages at COT NAS, watch, listen online. Over the last 3 weeks, we've focused on relationships and focusing on putting God first in our lives so that our life is a living testimony to the Lord. Today, we're going to focus on relationships in the workplace. Can we truly worship God in the workplace and build and nurture relationships with our coworkers and our bosses so that we point them to Jesus? Let us pray. Lord, I stand here before you today and your people acknowledging that every breath that we take and every hour of labor is a gift from your hand. As we discuss the 90,000 hours we spend at work and in service, convict and encourage everyone here. Let us be faithful stewards of this message, God. I pray, Father, that we bring our work weeks of exhaustion, our ambitions, Lord, the anxieties that we have today, that they're here in this sanctuary and we will put them to side. That God, you would perform a deep work within us today. Transform our hearts, Father God, to see coworkers and neighbors not as obstacles, but Father God, as people that are loved by you. Transform our minds to stop seeing work as secular and help us to start seeing it as something that is sacred, an offering of our excellence, God, to you. Transform our souls to find our identity not in the titles that we have or the paychecks that we earn, but in the status of being your beloved children. Lord, this day, commission us, move us beyond being Sunday Christians. Equip us, Father, to represent Christ in the workplace and in this neighborhood. I pray, may we leave seeing our labor not as a burden, but Lord, as a mission field. I pray that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our hearts, that they would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And all God's kids said, amen. We just prayed for God to transform our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And friends, we need that transformation because of one staggering, inescapable number, 90,000. That is the number of hours the average person will spend working and volunteering over a lifetime. If our faith is only active during the 1 hour we spend here on Sunday, we are leaving 90,000 hours of our lives, nearly one-third of our existence, untouched by the gospel. We often think of mission trips as something we do for a week or two in a far-off place. But the greatest mission field you will ever enter is the one you walk into every Monday morning. There are 90,000 opportunities to represent Jesus Christ to a world that watches us more closely at the office than we will ever be seen in the pews. Today, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit reclaims those hours for the kingdom of God. We're going to spend 90,000 hours in the marketplace. Well, we need more than a career strategy. We need a divine mandate. And the Apostle Paul, he addresses this directly in two letters, one to the church in Colossae and the other one to the church in Ephesus. At the very moment Paul wrote these words, he was sitting in a prison cell. He wasn't writing from a position of power or comfort. He was writing under the weight of chains. In the following passages from Colossians and Ephesians, you're going to hear Paul use the language of his time, the language of slaves and masters. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Colossians 3:23-24. So I have to ask you, who is your real boss? When we look at Colossians 3, we see that even if your supervisor is difficult or your workplace is chaotic, your ultimate accountability is to Jesus. Paul reminds us that the ultimate reward doesn't come from a weekly paycheck or a commission check. It comes as an inheritance from the Lord. This single shift in a perspective transforms 90,000 hours of drudgery into 90,000 hours of devotion. Let's pause here for a moment. Honest reflection. Have you ever worked alongside a Christian whose attitude or work ethic made you want anything but Jesus? How about, have you ever seen someone carry a Bible into the break room but leave their integrity at the time clock? Now, let's make this personal. Let's turn the mirror around. If your coworker's only exposure to the gospel was your performance, my performance last week, what version of Jesus would they believe in? But Paul doesn't stop at redefining who we serve. He expands the scope of what we do. He doesn't say, whatever you do in the church or whatever you do on the mission field. Instead, he uses the Greek word pause. In the original text, pause means all, every, or whatsoever. It is an all-encompassing word that leaves nothing out. This includes the emails you send, the floors you mop, the meetings you lead, the cars you repair. If it is worth doing, it's worth doing for God. In the life of a believer, there is no hierarchy of holiness in the 90,000 hours of career. If it is worth doing, again, I will say it is worth doing for God. Look at the card that was given to you this morning when you entered. And if you didn't receive a card, please raise your hand and someone will bring you one now. This card represents your mission field starting tomorrow morning. It's easy to think of a mission field as a place across the ocean, but for most of us, it's a cubicle, a classroom, or a construction site. Ask yourself this question. When you walk into that field tomorrow, whether that is your physical arrival through a door, or your face appearing on a Zoom meeting, do you bring a presence that draws people towards Christ or a spirit that pushes them away? Does your arrival feel like an answer to prayer or just a new source of stress for your team? And for those of you who are retired, this is just as personal for you. When you walk into the hospital room to visit a friend or into the kitchen for Sunday to prepare lunch for your grandkids, what atmosphere do you bring with you? Does your presence bring the refreshment of a seasoned soul, or does it bring the smoke of a grumbling spirit? Your mission field hasn't closed. The doors have just changed. This leads us to Paul's core strategy for the mission field. He calls us to work oxalkes, literally, from the soul. Don't miss this. When you work from the soul, you aren't just performing a task, you are projecting an atmosphere. You're bringing the very life of Christ into the room through the quality of your labor and the posture of your heart. It's not just about what your hands are doing, it's about where the work is coming from. This isn't just about being a high producer. It's about being intentional with every soul we encounter during the 90,000 hours. Working with all your heart means that your work is a reflection of your soul's health. You aren't just giving the company your time, you are giving God your best. This is the most radical part. Paul tells the worker to look past their earthly supervisor. Your boss might be ungrateful. Your company might be disorganized, and your volunteer post might be frustrating. But when you realize your audience is one, the pressure to please people fades, and the joy of pleasing God takes over. Let me apply this theological concept to our ordinary lives in 2026, the Monday reality in which we all face every week. To the teacher, if you're a teacher or a coach, your hours aren't just about lesson plans or wins and losses. Worship looks like seeing the difficult student, not as a disruption to your day, but as an image bearer of God who needs grace. When you stay late to help the child who is struggling, not because the administration is watching, but because your CEO, Jesus, loves that child, that is an act of worship. To the contractor, if you're a contractor, a plumber, or an engineer, your worship is found in your integrity of your craft. It's the wire you tucked away neatly behind a wall where no one will ever see it. You do it with excellence because you aren't just building for a client, you are building for the Lord. To the healthcare worker, for the nurse, the doctor, or the volunteer at the hospice center, your worship is found in the sincerity of your presence. You aren't just checking vitals. You are tending to the temple of the Holy Spirit. To the retired, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, my 90,000 hours of career labor are behind me. I'm retired. Does this really apply to me? Absolutely. In God's kingdom, there is no such thing as retiring from the mission. You aren't retired. You are repurposed. For those of you who are in this season, I must ask, are you using your freedom to build the kingdom, or have you retired from being a witness? Who are you intentionally pouring your wisdom into right now so that they can find refreshment instead of drowning in the stress of their 90,000 hours? For your worship, tomorrow might look like the way you treat the cashier at the grocery store, the intentional way you pray for your grandkids, the way you volunteer your time to mentor a younger person. You have a lifetime of wisdom to offer. You can be the refreshment to a younger generation that is stressed and burned out. You aren't just finished with your hours. You are the seasoned veteran on the team, bringing peace and encouragement to your neighborhood and your family. While Colossians is about the fire of our hearts, Ephesians is about the faithfulness of our habits. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Paul warns us against performance mode. This is the habit of working hard only when you're being watched, or doing the right thing just to win favor with people. In 2026, we call this performative labor or image management. Paul's counsel is to work with sincerity of heart. This means your character at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, when you're exhausted, alone, and no one is looking, should be identical to your character here on Sunday morning. Let's be honest for a moment. Is there a connect between the person in this pew and the person at your desk? If your boss or your coworkers were sitting next to you today, would they recognize the person they see on Sunday mornings, or would they be shocked to find out that the Christian they never knew they employed was sitting beside of them? Now, let's really make this personal. Let's turn the mirror around. If your coworkers' only exposure to the gospel was your performance this past week, what version of Jesus would they believe in? True integrity isn't a performance for the human boss. It's a lifestyle lived before God. Paul's counsel to the employee, to the volunteer, is don't work for the like or for the favor. If you only work hard when you're being watched, you aren't serving Christ. You're serving your own reputation. Colossians tells us to work because we love God. Ephesians tells us to work because we represent God. When we combine them together, our integrity becomes our greatest sermon. While Paul gives us a high calling in Ephesians to work with sincerity of heart, the book of Proverbs gives us a very blunt warning about the opposite. Proverbs 10:26, the Message version. A lazy employee will give you a splitting headache. He's like a mouthful of sand. Also translated as, a lazy employee is the sand in the gears of a team and the smoke in the eyes of the boss. Think about that imagery. On a job site or football field, a sand pit is a trap. It slows everyone down. And when you do the bare minimum, when you're unreliable, or when you bring a toxic attitude to the office, you are a sandpit that makes everyone else's job harder. Smoke makes your eyes sting. It makes it impossible to see clearly. And when you only work hard when you're being watched, you become a source of irritation. You're clouding the vision of the whole organization. If you want to have the right to speak to your coworkers and your boss about the gospel, you must first earn their respect through your labor. A believer who is an irritation to their boss closes the door to their mission field. Ask yourself this question. Are you currently the sand in the gears of your office? Someone who slows the team down with complaints, excuses, or unreliability? Or are you a breath of fresh air on a blistering hot day? The person the boss relies on when everything else is falling apart? Are you refreshment? When you walk in, you shouldn't just be filling a seat. You should be changing the atmosphere. When you see this today with C.J. Stroud, who in 2026 remains a household icon, not just for the power of his arm, but for the posture of his altar, he proves that when you work from the soul, people notice your source as much as your talent. Stroud's teammates publicly called him the light in the room. When the Texans faced a three-game losing streak in late 2025, CJ didn't resort to performing for the cameras. He didn't put on a show for the media while grumbling in the locker room. What he did, instead, he worked with a sincerity of heart. He stayed late, encouraged his teammates behind the closed doors, took personal responsibility. He proved that his work ethic wasn't tied to the scoreboard or public opinion, but to his commitment to the master. His coach, DeMeco Ryans, noticed that CJ's influence wasn't just about his stats. It was about the consistent character he brought to the facility every single day, win or lose. In fact, DeMeco Ryans stated that the team's success was a direct reflection of the players' belief in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To see exactly what that kind of character looks like, the drafted character, looks like now in action, let's watch this video.
Well, CJ, there's a lot to sort through after that game, but let's start with the game-winning touchdown to Tank Dell. What'd you see?
First and foremost, man, I got to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man. These last couple weeks, man, been up and down. I've been going through a lot on and off the field, man, but when you give your life to the Lord, man, he gives you opportunities, and it's what you do with it. So he gave me this opportunity to come back in a two-minute drill, and we run great routes, got great time management with the coaches, and we go score a touchdown. It's really big for us.
Yeah, you mentioned that. It was really 2 minutes, though. It was 46 seconds on the clock when you're down at this end of the field. What was the mentality, the approach, the conversation with your coordinator to make that length of the field run?
He just said, be you. You're a special player. Go be special. And we have a special team. They put a lot of great guys around me, a lot of great protection up front, guys running crisp routes and getting yaked. So, I mean, you have 46 seconds, man. It's not just me out there. It's everybody. And you see Tank running them routes.
You guys were at your best offensively in the second half when you lost your kicker. How did that impact the approach?
It just put more pressure. I mean, I feel like pressure either makes diamonds or you fold. So we got a lot of VVS diamonds around our offense, and we like the pressure. We want everything to be hard on us because we know that we them type of guys, we can make plays, and we did that today.
I know you're about the team, but you set a record here today, CJ, 470 yards passing. That's an NFL record for rookie. How does that sit with you?
That's a blessing, man. I ain't gonna lie. I usually like try to like not really look to like the accolades and records, man, but I put a lot of work in the week. My family, they know, man, and I love my family to death, man. Everybody back home in the IE, like, that's what I do it for, and I do it for the glory of God, man, and that's really just them. I mean, I put in the work to make other people happy and make other people smile. Of course, my teammates, man, they picked me at number two, and I got to play like that, and I feel like I'm doing it, but I got to keep it going, man.
A lot of Texans fans smile and enjoy this one, CJ. It was fun to watch.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. God bless.
Well, that's what it looks like to play for the master. Look also at Justice Amy Coney Barrett. In 2026, she sits on the highest court in our land, a workplace that is often a storm of political smoke. It would be easy for her to slip into the performance mode, to please the crowds, or to become a people pleaser just to quiet the critics. Instead, she operates with a quiet strength. You might ask, Pastor Terry, how do you know this to be true about her when she isn't your personal friend? Excellent question. I know it the same way the rest of our nation does, through the steady, unwavering frequency of her reputation. Even from a distance, her life sends a clear signal. Whether she's celebrated or criticized, she remains a trustworthy messenger because she isn't working for the likes of the culture, she is working for the Lord. She views her hours as stewardships of God's justice. Her identity isn't found in her black robe, it's found in her white robe of righteousness in Christ. Her reputation speaks to our nation because of her witness is consistent even when the cameras are off. Church, tomorrow morning you are walking back out onto the field. Don't be the smoke. If we are irritable, uncooperative, the cloud we will cloud everyone's vision. As followers of Christ, our goal is to clear the air. I challenge you to be the refreshment. Whether you're clocking in at the office on the morning, or you're meeting a friend for coffee for during your retirement, you have a mission. Be the one in your circle who stays consistent when the pressure's on. You don't need a title to influence the culture of your family, your neighborhood, or your workplace. When things get heated or people get discouraged, be the refreshment that brings clarity and peace. Proverbs 25:13 says, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Work with such high integrity and quiet strength that your boss finds refreshment in your reliability. Be the light in the room when the project fails or the deadline is missed. Our mission statement says, transformed by God to bring hope to others. This transformation begins in our heart. If you have a job, you have a calling. There is no such thing as a secular job or a secular retirement position. Worship team, come on up, please. Tomorrow morning, you aren't just starting a new week. You're continuing an act of worship. Don't go there trying to blend in. Be who God made you to be. Let the Sunday you be the Monday you. Integrity is consistency. Your daily work is deeply important to your God. I want us to take a stand in unity. Whether you're a teacher, a mechanic, a nurse, a stay-at-home parent, a retiree, or an executive, everyone in this mission, in this room, has a mission field. Right now, I want to ask this entire team to stand up. Look at the person to your right and to your left. This isn't just a crowd, this is your team. This is a team committed to working ak sokes. We aren't just doing a job. We are working from the soul. Now, I'd like to invite you to reach out and place a hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. You're not walking into your week alone. Now release that shoulder and hold your hands out in front of you. Your palms up. These are your tools. Whatever age you are, high school student, worker in the workplace, retiree, whatever age you are, look at your hands. I want to stop and ask you these questions. Lord, what will these hands build this week that will last for eternity? Who will I touch with your grace? And who will I serve with your excellence? Let us pray. Dear Lord, look at this team. Look at their hands. We are your people, heading out into the mission field of the Shenandoah Valley. Father, I pray for the mechanic under the car. I pray for the accountant at the screen. I pray for the retiree that's loving their neighbor. I pray, God, for the student. I pray, God, let their integrity be a refreshment to everyone they meet. I pray for the teacher and the nurse. Let them see every person as the image of you. Today, Holy Spirit, we choose to be your refreshment. Give us your power. Remind us, God, that our work is for the King of Kings. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.